You know what? It is a bad experience when you travel. You know, for whatever reason you're going on your trip, or what it is you're looking for, what it is that you need. But so much, just listening to you there, Richard, talking about Florida, because you've been there a few times, because you enjoyed it so much. It's very engaging to hear the true experience of someone that's been to that destination. And that's what I think really hooks me into wanting to go to a place, maybe when I've not thought of going there before, which kind of leads me to introduce my next guest. And that's Nick Crane, who is an author. He's many experiences, and he divides his time between France and Ethiopia. And he's saying that Ethiopia is a great place to go, maybe when it's too hot here in the Emirates. So to share his story and to tell us about Ethiopia, very good morning, Nick Crane.
Good morning.
Good morning, and welcome to Dubai Eye.
Thanks very much for inviting me on the show.
So tell us then a little bit of what first sort of drew you in to Ethiopia, because you've got an interesting story when you first started visiting Ethiopia.
Yeah, well, I go back quite a long way with Ethiopia, perhaps about 30 years now, and I first went there after a long travel across Africa. Ended up in Ethiopia, had to sell the Land Rover because my colleague and I, who had this truck, couldn't finance the travel anymore. And I wanted to stay on a bit because I found it's a fascinating country. It's a totally different country to all the other African places, mainly because it still has its culture left. And I stayed on in Ethiopia for another 6 months, and I helped out in one of the famine periods. And that's how I got involved. And I went back about 20 or 25 years later and got involved again with a few humanitarian projects, and eventually ended up with a hotel that we'll talk about in a minute.
You know, what brings you to a country, and when, then what you experience. Now, of course, for many of us, we may hear Ethiopia, the word, the country Ethiopia, and think of that, the famine, the poverty, maybe the politic as well. Is it really somewhere that we would be thinking we should consider as a holiday destination?
Well, Ethiopia has totally changed in the past 20 years. It's been very much a democratic country since 1992, when the present government took over from the communist regime, who basically were in power for the 25 years or so before that, going back to 1974, when the emperor, Haile Selassie, was overthrown. So in the past 20 years, the whole place has changed. Addis is now booming, the country's opening up, and the touristic assets are really becoming accessible to the world.
Okay. So tell us a bit about the tourist attractions.
Well, it's still very much in a virgin state at the moment, but that in a way makes it very interesting, because you can go traveling to Kenya or Tanzania, and everyone knows about the Masai Mara parks and places like that, where you can go and see the big wildlife. Ethiopia perhaps hasn't got the big wildlife that Kenya and Tanzania have, but it's still got plenty of things to see in wildlife terms. But secondly, really, it still retained its culture, and this is the big attraction of Ethiopia. You can go there and you can see tribal areas in the south where people still live as they did, you know, 1,000 years ago. Or you can go up to the mountains. Most of Ethiopia is actually highland area, all above about 2,000 meters. Most of the north of Addis Ababa is over 2,000 meters. So it's got a cool climate. It's got an interesting climate. Geographically, it's interesting because you've got fabulous mountains. You've got deserts. You've got one of the lowest deserts in the world, 100 meters or 300 feet below sea level, which is in between Djibouti and Addis Ababa. So great, exciting places to see there.
What's the flight duration from Dubai?
About 3 hours, 40 minutes.
It's just really close, isn't it?
Very, very close, yeah.
And I'm just looking through, Nick kindly brought in his books, is there now, A Boutique Ethiopia, and there are some lovely sort of lodges and places to stay here.
Of which you own one, right?
That's so correct.
Yes.
I own one, which is the Simeons in the Simeon Mountain, Simeon Lodge. But there are about 15 now good lodges in the country. And they've all evolved in only the past 3 years. That really shows you how new this country is.
So as it is new, the infrastructure, as somebody going there for the first time and travelling around, is it safe? How would you advise travel? Should you? I mean, actually, Tara's SMS'd in. Thanks for your SMS Tara saying that she's been visiting Ethiopia and the orphanages there for 6 years, and her daughter is adopted from there, and they've used the same driver who is wonderful, and he's reliable, honest, and speaks great English. And she's saying, I'm happy to give his details. Thanks for that, Tara. You know, so just to give you an insight there of somebody that's also used to travelling around Ethiopia, that is that what you would advise then, to take a driver?
Absolutely. I mean, first, from the security point of view, it's a very, very safe country. It's as safe as Dubai, and no one is going to aggress you in any way. They are lovely people, very friendly, and that goes right through the culture of the country. It goes right through the religions, because in Ethiopia you've got about one-third Muslim and 45% Christian. But in both of those religions, it's not a done thing to theft or to aggress at all. So they're absolutely lovely people. No, I mean, it's a very, very safe place to visit.
Okay, so if you are arriving at the airport, you would pick up a car, pick up a driver to take you if you've worked out a route that you want to go on. But if you wanted to stay, first of all, in Addis, what's Addis like?
Well, Addis, I describe it inaccurately, but I think it is becoming like the Dubai of Africa, in that it's the boom town of Africa. It's where a lot of other Africans like to go and spend time, because Nairobi, Johannesburg, Lagos, the other big cities of Africa are a little bit dangerous these days. But Addis is the complete opposite. It's a place where you can walk freely at night. I mean, it's not got the same entertainments that you have here in Dubai, but it's coming, and there are plenty of good restaurants and entertainment places that you can go out to at night and enjoy yourself.
But I mean, looking through your book, it looks at a very outdoory place, obviously. And the wildlife and the pictures of the wildlife that you have photographed in this book are beautiful. So obviously, if you're interested in bird watching, that sort of thing, it would be a destination.
Absolutely. Well, you don't want to spend too long in Addis, because architecturally it's not a fantastic city. So, you know, you'd arrive there your first night, you would stay in a classic hotel, and then you want to either head up north and do the Ethiopian Highlands, or you want to go south. This time of the year, it's generally, we're coming into the rainy season now, July and August, and I would recommend to people, well, you can do both. It's tropical rain, so it's not like European cold rain. It's warm rain.
Monsoon, sort of.
Yeah, it doesn't rain all day. You know, it's usually one big storm in an afternoon, and then in the evening again, you know, you can walk out and you won't get wet. So.
Sounds great, actually.
Outside shower is lovely.
Okay, and also you've got the mountains as well, the mountain range.
Yes, well, we're up in the Simien Mountains, which is essentially an old volcano. Previously going back about 30 million years ago, it had a 40-kilometer diameter. The northern half of this has been eroded away and left this massive escarpment. And most of the tourists who come to the Simiens, they trek along this escarpment, usually for this, you know, 40-50 kilometers. And you can see fantastic wildlife, lots of endemic animals. We have Gelada monkeys, which are big hairy monkeys, and they live in troops up to about 800. And so you can have your own David Attenborough experience of sitting amongst these monkeys and watching them fight, eat, and do what monkeys do. There's also the Walia ibex, which is a very rare ibex that a lot of tourists like to come up there and see. And we also have the Simien wolf, which is just about, well, it's on the verge of eradication.
I was going to say, I mean, it's interesting to mention wolf, because it's so around the world, really at threat of being extinct, isn't it? So you still have species there. It's such a misunderstood species, the wolf, you know.
Absolutely.
I think through, you know, fairy tales and myths, and actually an incredibly shy creature, and man has gone into its terrain and really kind of wiped it out, which is very sad. But you still have some there.
77 only in the park, so you can see how critical it's getting. And these wolves will not attack man. I mean, they live off rodents, basically. I mean, that's their food, so they're not a great danger at all.
And with regards to sort of philanthropic or humanitarian, you know, Tara was saying that she's visited orphanages there. If somebody was interested in that side of things, you know, as well, is it easy to kind of, you know, get involved and do some voluntary work, maybe?
Yes, well, a lot of tourists who do come to our lodge, they want to get involved. I think pretty much everyone who comes to Ethiopia, they want to get involved in something, because it's such a poor country. I mean, basically, it's dollar-a-day standards, and, you know, so you do see a lot of poverty. And if you do travel there, you've got to be prepared for the poverty. But yeah, you can go and you can get involved. The government these days, they don't like people going and doing anything. They like to know what's going on in their country because so many NGOs have gone and set up schools or little projects, really, and then that hasn't fitted in with the Ministry of Health or Ministry of Education. So they do like people to be registered these days. But that doesn't stop people going and helping and donating via an NGO. For example, in the lodge, we've done a lot of things. We've had a Rotary Club last year wanted to donate a ophthalmological, I have problems pronouncing that word, microscope for cataract operations. And that's recently been donated to Gonda Hospital. Gonda is one of the northern towns. This week, in fact, I'm travelling there because we are donating a bus to the local community. We have to work in with the local community. It's essential for us to have their support. So we've saved up enough money now with tourist donations and a certain amount of money that we've got from the lodge ourselves, and we're handing over a 25-seater bus to the community.
That's great.
Yeah.
And if you are wanting to contribute and sort of give back and go to Ethiopia as a volunteer, are there organisations down there set up to look after you doing that, or do you sort of put your rucksack on and go about it yourself?
Don't do it yourself. No, I wouldn't recommend that. You could, because people go there with an illusion they're going to save the world, and it doesn't work like that anymore. Go and contact one of the major NGOs or major charities and say, can I help? What can I do?
Right.
And essentially that's what I say to everyone who comes in the lodge. I mean, I get tourists in the bar at night in the lodge, and they all say to me, you know, how can I help? And I say, well, what do you do? And they say, oh, well, I'm a plumber. And I say, yeah, even plumbing, you know, you can go and help the locals and teach them how to fix pipes. It's that crew. They need help at every level.
When we come back, we'll find out about Nick's lodge, the Simeon Lodge, the highest hotel, is that right?
Highest hotel in Africa, yeah.
And we'll find out about the facilities and what it's like to stay there, and of course find out more about the culture and the environment of Ethiopia.